everybody. I'm Marianne Katsidis, and this is the Heart-Led Changemaker podcast. Have you ever been in a conversation with someone where it felt so juicy and inspired that it left you feeling energized and ready to take on the world? There have been countless times I wished I could have recorded conversations like that because it felt criminal that no one else got to hear or experience that feeling. Those conversations ignite something inside of you because you visualize a new way to connect with others and sometimes even a new world. This show will provide you with ways to stay focused on the future, some food for thought, new ideas and concepts, a way to create abundance ethically, a showcase of those already doing the work and succeeding, and a sense of connection. Being a change maker can be very lonely, so this will serve as a community for heart-led warriors. Sit back and let this high-vibe, heartfelt conversation light you up. Today's guest is Chris Toms. Chris has been a musician for more than 30 years and creates soundscapes and sound journeys to facilitate deep inner peace, healing, and connectedness. Chris, welcome to the show today. Thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me.
So we know that every single thing in the universe is a form of energy and vibration, and all vibrating at specific frequencies. But in case some audience members don't know, what is sound healing? And can you explain it in a bit more detail?
The sound healing / sound therapy, all kind of very, very similar. It's basically working with sounds, frequencies, and vibration to do exactly what we said, like to facilitate peace and predominantly initiate what's called the relaxation response, which, as the name sounds, is relaxing as such. And when you let yourself relax is when basically your body generally does the things that it needs to do. But ultimately, there's sort of a few different components. The main component of let's just call it sound healing as such is, we work with brainwave entrainment. So in nature, when there's a strong frequency, a pure frequency, and it locks into another frequency, it basically pulls that frequency, into its sort of almost like into tune as such. It's almost like tuning it up. It's really kind of hard to explain, but the stronger, purer frequency will kind of, if it can connect with the other frequency, it sort of purifies it in kind of simple terms, I guess. There's a great experiment where they use two clocks. I don't know if you've ever seen it. And what they basically do is set two clocks to two different times and they put them next to each other. And what happens is they end up syncing up perfectly. So what happens is that over time, the stronger one kind of pulls the other one in and they end up locking into synchrony. So same thing happens with multiple females in a house. From a nature point of view, if you've got multiple females in a house, their cycles align. And so it's a natural thing that happens in nature. And basically that's what we're trying to do with sound and frequencies. And what we're trying to do is basically entrain the brain and drop the frequency response in the brain down to generally theta brainwaves, or also alpha brainwaves. Alpha is kind of like a deep meditative state, and theta is almost like a light sleep. So it's almost like dreamlike state. So you're kind of in a sound journey as such. You tend to flick between the two, between a deep meditative state and a very light sleep as such. In a nutshell, that's kind of how it works. But I kind of look at it that what we do is we create sounds and frequencies and vibrations, in particular in a sound journey. It's kind of different in one-to-one work versus in group work. So in group work, it'll be a combination of sounds and frequencies that allow the people in the group to just go into that really super deep, relaxed state. And once you're in that state, then the body really does its own thing. The body does, as you can imagine with any kind of modality, the body does the healing. We're just guides. We're, we we guide people into a place where their body does the things that need to be done. So ideally, the person is setting an intention or they have something in mind of what they want to achieve. And then again, once they go into that next state down where they kind of step out of the way and let the body do its thing is where the magic happens. In a one-to-one situation, it is a little different. In a one-to-one situation, I fit like my own personal, journey with sound is that I find that when I'm in a room with someone, after doing some initial sort of wouldn't call it diagnosing because obviously it's not a diagnosis, but we're looking for where the energy's out of balance and where we feel that energy out of balance, then we work with particular instruments to try and facilitate the balance back into those areas. And sometimes that is from a by the book kind of point of view where the specific frequencies that work with specific chakras, specific instruments, again with specific areas of the body. And then there's sometimes, more often than not, it's an intuition thing. You just feel that you need to do a little bit more of this instrument or less of this instrument and introduce this instrument, even though it's not actually specifically, for that purpose. There's something that tells you to use that and intuition or whatever it might be. It's a feeling, it's an energetic feeling of knowing that the person needs a particular sound and frequency, I guess. But yeah, it in a nutshell, that's kind of, it's a little bit hard to explain, but yeah, it's really brainwave entrainment, frequency following response, and ultimately all of it to a certain extent ties into again just putting that person in such a beautiful, super relaxed, calm state that their body goes about doing the repairs and the releasing and the healing as such, if that makes sense.
Absolutely. And sound and vibration therapies are an ancient form of healing, aren't they?
Yes. So if you look, obviously in its rawest form, you look back to obviously shaman and tribesmen and medicine men from tribes from thousands of years ago, and whether they're using frame drums or sticks, banging together, singing, dancing. I mean, singing, obviously the voice is one of the most powerful instruments, there is. There's a whole different, plethora of benefits and treatments that can be with the voice and voice liberation, both for the person giving and the person receiving. There's so much more, wrapped up into that area. But yeah, obviously in its purest form, it goes back, thousands of years to, again, medical tribesmen and so forth. I think where it sort of took a turn and sort of come into the modern era, we're still talking, thousands of years ago, was with the ancient Greeks and the Egyptians and Mayans, where they actually had purpose-built chambers, which were acoustic chambers basically, and they would bring, wounded soldiers and tribespeople into these rooms and play different instruments and again sing and obviously there's so much more when it comes to like the ancient Egyptians and their sound in their pyramids and some of their temples of how these things were designed and what they're actually doing with frequencies in there. I mean, obviously there's conjecture that they actually built the pyramids with frequencies, like lifting blocks with sound frequency and all this sort of stuff, which is a whole other kettle of fish. But yeah, the actual art of sound healing and healing with sound and vibration, yes, it does date back thousands of years, to the earliest sort of traces of man, I think, and probably beyond for all we know.
Of course. And so in the introduction, I mentioned that you were a musician. So how did you step from being a musician into this? Like, how did that journey happen?
Well, it's funny because both have their similarities of why I love both. So what I loved about being a musician was definitely not the late nights in the pubs and back in the days everybody used to smoke in the pub and you'd be playing and the place would be full of smoke and beer and spirits all over the floor and just not the nicest place to be. But what I did love about being a musician was that ability to drag people out of their world for a period of time, like where for an hour of their life, they They weren't thinking of work or kids or bills or whatever this. They were there. They were in the moment. They were completely, and there's that energetic bounce, from performer to the receiver and or the giver to the receiver. And that's the bit I loved. I love that energetic play between, yourself and the crowd. And I loved that ability just to pull people out of their world for a while. And they dropped back into it afterwards and went back to their normal life and probably woke up the next day with a screaming hangover. But for a period of their time, I had them, they were, well, not necessarily me at the band. We had them, and we were able to give them some joy and some peace. And this is just a big extension of that, really. And so I guess in reality, I stopped playing in bands. I got sick of, again, all night gigs at, smoky dens and, packing up on dodgy street corners while you're trying to put your equipment in your car and, looking over your shoulder every 5 minutes. Like, this is not cool. And so I gave it all up, and I guess my wife saw that I was, quite frustrated, like the old frustrated musician and frustrated, person, I guess. And then we went to Bali, and basically, it wasn't just it just the way it worked out. I went to Bali. I had a sound journey, my first, experience of sound journey myself. And it just tore my world up, literally turned my world upside down. It tore me open. It was a very emotional experience for me. I bawled my eyes out. Ironically, my wife had a really emotional experience, and too, we both had this really, emotional sort of outpouring. And I was hooked. Like, I went outside, and we were both bawling out. We literally sat outside of the place and bawled for probably a good 15 minutes afterwards. And it was just such an incredible experience. And I just at the time I thought, what happened? What just what? How did that do that? I'd tried so many different, counseling and all the psychobabble, and read every single self-help book that probably ever existed up to that point, and thought I knew it all, but I knew I had so many things I had to work on myself. I think that was kind of it. And then when it happened, like, I sat back afterwards, as I said, and just bawled my eyes and said, wow, that was powerful. That was really, really powerful. That got in. And I was hooked. I went back, half a dozen times during that trip, and then we went back, I think, 6 or 8 months later, and again I was back there, every second day. I think my wife was looking at me like, come on, can we do other stuff? Like, I want to do this. And then we came back, and it was probably a number of months later. I was sort of just, probably moping around the place, and my wife said, why don't you do some sort of musical healing as such? Why don't you look at maybe doing drum healing? Because I'm a drummer, originally. And she said, why don't you do some sort of drum healing? Maybe start some drum circles and stuff like that. And I thought, yeah, cool. And that's where I kind of started. So I then sort of started researching about drum therapy. And there's some, again, some incredible stuff out there in regards to rhythm therapy or drum therapy, and in particular the work that is being done with kids on the spectrum and people with autism. Like, again, it's that brainwave entrainment, like of hitting a particular beat, and it lock the brain locks into it, and it's just mind-blowing, the incredibly powerful tool that it was. And that was it. I was down the rabbit hole. And then it was like, right, what are these whole bowls? And there's a gong thing. And then I sort of started down, researching that. And it's like, well, I really want to do this. And if I want to do it, I want to actually know what I'm doing. I know, and I know it's an extremely powerful modality, and it's not something I take lightly. So I wasn't just going to go out there and buy some stuff and go, yay, let's do this. I thought, I've got to know what I'm doing, because I'd spoke to someone in the very early days, in particular around crystal bowls. And what had happened is, one of the times my wife and I went back is to Bali. We had a journey, and she had quite an unsettling experience. And talking to someone, later down the track about it, they said, well, they obviously didn't ground her properly. They didn't do what they're meant to do, which is, if you don't ground someone, they leave and they're all airy fairy, and it's not a good thing. So it's really important to go through a very particular process. So once again, that was just more, again, like, no, I've got to know what I'm doing. So then I started studying. I found the Sound Healing Academy in the UK, and reached out to them. They have teachers here in Australia, So I did, my sort of basic courses there, a few different courses, started sort of playing around with it. And again, just the more I went, it's like, no, I want to know more. So then I did my diploma, and that was a 12-month course with about 100 hours of practical and a lot of sort of theory and just learning. Even though I was a musician, I was a drummer, and most, guitarists or whatever will say, oh, drummers, you're just guys that hang around with musicians. We're not exactly musically minded generally when it comes to scales and musical intervals and notes and things like that. We know beats, and different beats. So I had to kind of learn that side of things, which is then took me down that road. And yeah, we did a number of case studies throughout that. And throughout those case studies, my belief in what I was doing just grew and grew and grew. It was you just saw these incredible results, like results that kind of defied belief, where someone would have a particular problem that they presented with, and whether it be physical, and the physical ones were really interesting, but physical and or emotional, and to be able to actually, I'm not going to say heal that, but to fix that particular problem for them with sound and frequency, and for them to go and go, them to leave and go, I have no pain anymore, or you've fixed this, or I've had this problem for, 20 years and it's not there anymore. And it's like, it was just, yeah, it was really, 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 really mind-blowing for me. And it just, I was again more hooked and more hooked. And I was, reading more and more and more and more books, that like gone from the self-help books to the music, sound healing books and that type of thing. So yeah, it was just a great journey. And where it ended up was that yeah, I sort of got my diploma and did all that and started my business. And over time I've sort of moved more back into that group, dynamic and trying to bring some of that one-to-one element into the group dynamic. So I'm not just doing what I do. I'm trying to consciously connect energetically as I'm, moving around a room with people and things like that. So I'm actually giving that more personal type of thing, even though it's in a group situation. That's a challenge, and that's what I'm trying to work on now to try and not perfect, but at least get better. The more I think the better I can do that, the better the experience that people are going to have, and that's what I'm trying to achieve.
I mean, that's really incredible. One, just in one, your own sound healing that activated this whole new path and created this expansion, which you may not have ever connected to, and it's incredible. I mean, the work that you do is incredible. Obviously, I've been on the receiving end, but music has played such a big role in my life, particularly when I was experiencing trauma. But in your opinion, what do you find are the differences between sound healing and listening to your favorite, your favorite songs?
I think they both, to a certain extent, do the same thing in that, you hear that, and you hear your favorite song, and it makes you feel good. You start to move, you start to dance, or a smile comes across your face. You start singing. Conversely, you hear a song that, I've got songs that every single time I hear them, it doesn't matter whether I've heard them 1,000 times, I cry. They just do that particular thing to me, And then there's other. Yeah, and it is a connection thing. Once again, it is the brain that is just locking into something in that song that does something to the body. And I think the difference with, the sound healing side of things is the frequencies. The difference is the different instruments bring out different frequencies in the body, and connect with different parts of the body. So whereas, listening to music predominantly, obviously you're hearing it through the ears, and you're feeling it as well, because obviously every part of your body receives sound. I mean, every single cell in your body has a little antenna in it to receive sound. Like, it's incredible, so every single part of your body feels it, but ultimately it's here. Whereas I find with sound healing, and that it's much more visceral, like it's much more on the body, especially when you're, using bowls near the body, or drums and didgeridoos and these type of things. People feel it, and they feel it in different parts of the body. And I think it's the frequency that's different, because the music, again, more often than not, is a particular frequency. So let's say it's, 440 hertz, for example, or 432 hertz. It generally falls into a couple of different categories. I know I'm generalizing. There'll be a lot of people watching you think, oh, there's a lot more, and there is, but you know, in general sense, there's 440 hertz and 432 hertz are the two main different tunings of music. But when you get into, you know, particularly gongs and things like that, there's just this spectrum of sound that you never hear in music. Like, you know, it's just not there. So that's the other thing, is that the instruments bring a whole different level of sounds and, you know, nuances and tones and overtones and vibrations and frequencies that normal musical instruments just don't give you. Gongs in particular, you know, and again, if there's any sound healers or therapists watching your show, they'll be on the same path as me, is that gongs are just these incredible instruments that just have, you know, so many different nuances and sounds and frequencies. It's yeah, it's quite incredible. The metal instruments in particular, I shouldn't say just the gongs, the Tibetan singing bowls, for example, as well, too. So many different frequencies and sounds within the one instrument, you know, depending on how you hit it, what you hit it with, you know, the different materials, what it's sitting on, where it is in a room, you know, everything changes with every single variation. You know, like we talked about before, the difference between, you know, having a sound journey on a concrete floor versus a, you know, a timber floor that's suspended, because then you get that resonance through the timber floor and this type of stuff. So yeah, it's really interesting. It's a constant sort of, you know, it's constantly varying because of where you're playing, the people you're doing these journeys with, and every room you play has a different energy. Every group of people in the room has a different energy. The instruments themselves change with the different instruments, again, like with the different energies. So again, the metal instruments in particular change from room to room and from person to person. It's that sort of stuff's really fascinating. Once again, you can line up, you know, six people in a row and put the bowl, you know, on their chest, for example, and hit it, and it will sound different on every single person, and it will have a different frequency and different vibration. It's the exact same instrument hit with the exact same, you know, mallet, for example. Nothing's varied. Like, there should be no real difference, but it sounds totally different from person to person. That's the stuff that just, yeah, I love it. Really sort of, you know, I'm fascinated with that side of things, and just the nuances of sound and how it performs with different people and different energies in different rooms and that type of thing.
That is so incredible. I've been in one of your sound healings. And again, I'm going to be in one tonight too. But what you're saying about the gongs and the metal instruments, like you can feel that inside your bones. Like you can feel the vibration going through your cells. It's a completely different thing. I agree, you know, listening to your favorite songs and stuff, that gives you a specific frequency that helps, that does help you. And often while I'm working and throughout the house, I've got a sound system throughout the house where I play different hertz music depending on what I need. Sometimes it's 528, sometimes it's, you know, in the 400s, whatever I need. But and I feel that helping, and especially when the whole house is vibrating at that's certainly helpful for me. But when you're lying on the floor and you've been anchored in through yin yoga, which is what your sessions, you know, often entail, is anchoring the body to allow it to be in receive mode, in that receptive mode. So with yin yoga, you're stretching your fascia, and you're really opening up all the elements of you, including the heart space. And so then your parasympathetic nervous system is calm. And so then when you go into the sound side of it, you're in a whole different sphere to receive and to heal. And that's what I love about the work that you do. Obviously, having that experience, I can talk to it in detail, and I'm glad that I can, because I've had sound healings before, and you kind of just go into it cold. You just start with a meditation and then the sound healing starts. Whereas that process really helps you transform and transmute. And I can honestly say for the good part of 24 hours, I could feel my system buzzing. Like my whole being is, I didn't, after the last one, I almost couldn't remember how I was driving home. Like I just felt like I was
Yeah.
floating. Like I knew I had fun, like I was, fully functioning, but I
Yeah.
felt like I had just floated home on a cloud. And just listening to music doesn't, like, just in your home or whatever, if you haven't set yourself up properly, doesn't give you that same experience. And I love that the different instruments have their own change depending on the people in the room, depending on their environment, because everything, of course, that makes so much sense, but you wouldn't normally think about it like that. And it is incredible.
Yeah, and it's I think that you know how you said of sort of like leaving and you enter such a beautiful relaxed state, and when you come out you're still ridiculously relaxed and just in this beautiful space, but more often than not your mind is just on another level. Like you're suddenly having these super clear thoughts and clarity. It's like, in this beautiful relaxed state, but you're hyper switched on at the same time. It's such a juxtaposition. And yeah, look, I certainly agree with, so, I do my journeys with different people for different reasons. And so, yeah, the yin yoga is definitely one. And I do that with a few different people, and they, once again, they all bring something different as well too, because although they're all three of them, there's three ladies in particular I work with, do yin yoga. Again, they've got their own energy and their own, vibration. So that mixes with mine and brings something different to the table. Yin is works magnificently with sound because, as you said, you're those long stretches, beautiful fascia, whatever, opening sort of exercises, and you're just in a beautiful place to receive. Some people don't necessarily like that. They actually prefer just to come in and just have a nice little gentle meditation and then drop into the sound journey. Some people like the really beautiful, relaxing breath work sort of thing that I do with some with Kim from Kim Burles, and then there's other people that really like energetic style. It's a varying thing, but I think that each sort of thing that I do has its own place. And yeah, it is such a powerful thing. I think that the thing that never ceases to absolutely blow me away is where people go. People just, I quite often, I love the look. One of the things that I love about what I do is when I finish and people will quite often sit up, I've generally just look, super relaxed, and they've got this beautiful, calm serenity over them. Quite often they've got this really kind of confused look on their face, like they're looking at me just like, "What did you just do? Like, what happened? Where? Well, explain to me how I just lost, an hour of my life, and I was walking around on the pyramids with, I don't know, unicorns walking past me. Like, it's just people's minds just never seems. It just never ceases to blow me away where people go when they're in that place. And again, the different frequencies from the different instruments take them to different places in their mind. So a great example is the Koshi chime. So the Koshi chime's just your little timber, sort of cylindrical chime. It's a little wind chime used by, countless sound healers around the world. It's kind of like one of the ubiquitous instruments that everybody uses, and it has this beautiful wind chimey sound. So many people have said that when that was happening, they were back in their childhood, like they were walking around their grandfather's place, or they were sitting having a conversation with their grandparents who had passed, years beforehand, and all these crazy things just simply from this one. It's a cylindrical piece of wood with, half a dozen metal tines inside of it that a glass bead clicks against, produces these particular sounds and frequencies. But in 9 out of 10 people will take them, hurtling back 20, 30, 40, 50 years to a place in time. That just blows me away. Like, it happens with songs. We know that. You listen to a song, and it takes you to a particular, particularly with breakups and, partners and things like that, that sort of click. So it makes sense that it's that same thing. It triggers a memory in the thing. What I really am again fascinated by is the possibility that some of these places that people are going are in past lives, because there is no logical explanation of what their experience. Now, the same as dream state. We all know that, you know, dreams, you do crazy things. It's like, well, I've never even thought of that. How does that work? You know, it's in your subconscious mind. And it's the same with this, when you're going to and having very distinct, clear, vivid memories of things that you've never experienced in your life, you can't help but wonder whether people are actually traveling back to, you know, a previous life or a different dimension or whatever. Like I said, I'm not professing to, you know, say that I understand in any way, shape or form, but it just absolutely amazes me. And I love it. It's crazy.
Me too. And you are so on point, because while you were talking, I was, you know, my guides were saying the people that you're healing are probably timeline jumping. And they're of course they're traveling to components of their past lives. I remember when I first started, you know, when I sort of had my first awakening, I was getting into meditation and so forth. One of my teachers at the time, she made a drum, and she took us through a drum healing, and all of that was connected to my Atlantean past life, and. Right. Fast forward now, what is probably 15, 16 years, I was in a meditation with someone new that I'd met, and she used the drum in the exact same way, and her meditation script was exactly the same as, you know, 15 years. And that's not a coincidence. I don't believe in coincidences. No. I was like, whoa, and it took me back to that very, as soon as that one, you know, gone here, I was transported straight back to that past life and that memory, exactly the same as the first time I'd seen it. And I explained my vision to her, and, you know, this was after obviously the meditation, but I explained to her what I saw and what had happened. And she, you know, she was bawling her eyes out as well, because that was the visual she was having, and it was like we had come back together. So, you know, we were obviously connected in a past life, but just in that one sound, I was able to make that connection with her. Obviously, we're very good friends now. She's a forever person, but it's just so incredible the way that the brain and the soul knows, and it's got that resonance in it. Even though we're in this life, in this, you know, meat suit, our soul knows, you know, and it holds so much wisdom. So, of course, there's going to be a need for some healing, right?
Definitely.
Yeah, but even that concept just blows my mind completely. One of the things I wanted to talk to you about is how stressed out and on edge everyone is. And our world is, you know, getting crazier by the minute, and it kind of has to in order for us to move forward. But with anxiety levels so high and with stress levels the way that they are, what do you recommend as a first step for someone wanting to explore sound therapy, someone who hasn't done anything like that before?
I mean, look, obviously the best way, like anything, is kind of jump on in, I think. If you don't just jump on in, you're sort of missing out. But obviously there's a lot of, you know, sound baths and sound journeys online that they can listen to, and that way they're not in that environment. Like, that can be a bit overwhelming for some people. So yeah, there's a huge plethora of people that do online sound baths and sound journeys, and whether that's through, you know, Spotify or YouTube or any of these mediums is certainly a way. I think, you know, there kind of isn't a week go by where I talk to people who have absolutely no concept of what I'm talking about. When I say what I do, they look at me like, you do what? You know, I'm like, oh, I work with. And as soon as I say singing bowls and gongs, they go, oh, you know, it's like, oh, you do that stuff, you know. But more often than not, they kind of look at you with this, you know, look on their face like, what are you talking about? So I think most people have been exposed to sound bowls or something in their lives, you know, again, whether it's subconsciously or, you know, they've been at a yoga studio and the yoga teacher's wound a bowl at the end or whatever it might be. So, but yeah, I think it's just like anything, is just to give it a try. I think the most important thing is for people to understand that although your mind can take you off into all these weird and wonderful places, and your body can do all these amazing, again, weird and wonderful things, it's never an unpleasant journey, you know. It's always, and there might be elements of discomfort, you know, in particular, you know, particular sounds can bring up almost like a feeling of anxiety in the chest. Like you speak of anxiety and high stress levels, and you're like, oh, why go somewhere where you're going to get a bit of that? But you kind of have to have that because that's how you release. If it's all beautiful and soothing and relaxing, then yeah, that's nice, but it's not really helping you to actually get better. You know, any healing requires, I'm not going to say, you know, pain equals gain or anything like that, but you know, there's always a level of discomfort, whether it's within your ego or your body, you know, of letting go and healing. So yeah, I think it's really important that people just understand that it's a beautiful journey. And it's really just, you cannot explain it, as you know, it's, you cannot explain to people what happens and how good it is. You're just going to say, look, you know, that being said, there are going to be people that do it and go, I don't like it. You know, again, like anything, it's not for everyone. I find that people that are highly wound up either come and just have the most incredible time, and they're hooked, and they come back on a regular basis. And some of my regulars are, you know, professionals that have really highly stressful jobs, and it's part of their self-care. They're there every, you know, event they have to be. And then there's other people, I think, you know, if I'm going to be honest, I think the people that don't get much out of sound journeys are the people that don't actually want to kind of heal. They're happy to kind of, and I'm not, you know, I'm reluctant to use the word heal, you know, like it's, we're called sound healers and we do sound healing, but ultimately we don't do that. We facilitate a journey for you to heal, you know. So, and I think there are people who just don't want that. You know, they don't like that feeling. You know, they get to a point of like, oh, I don't like this. It's actually their body going, hey, this is really good. I'm going to get rid of some of the junk you've been carrying around. And they go, well, no, I'm actually quite happy carrying my junk around, thank you. You know, they just don't want it. And they sort of come up after their journey and they go, yeah, that was great, Chris, thank you. And like, I never see them again. And I can sort of, you know, and that's fine. I'm glad they gave it a try. It's really, I'm really grateful that they gave it a try with me more often than not, which is really good. But you know, I kind of wish they'd come back and do it a couple more times, because usually the first time is a bit of a shock to the system. It's like, wow, what was that? That was weird. But the next time you come back, you know what to expect. So you drop down a level lower. And then by the time you've come three or four times, you are dropping into this beautiful place, which is just, it's intoxicating, because it's just so beautiful and relaxing and peaceful, and you know what I mean. So yeah, it's I don't know, I've probably forgot the actual gist of your original question because I've gone off on a tangent, but
Well, we were talking about, my question was, you know, for someone wanting to get started, what would be the first step? But I agree. There are people who hold their pain and their stress as a kind of a badge of honor, and they don't want to release it. So it's probably not for those people. Luckily, my audience aren't those people. They're awake, you know, in tune and aware, and taking lots of responsibility for themselves. But I have to say, whilst yes, there are some really great options online, particularly when there was lockdowns and all of that kind of thing happening, that was a really good option because you couldn't go anywhere. But there is nothing like an in-person session. There just isn't when it comes to sound. And there's something about bringing a group of people together. That group
The group
energy,
energy, yeah.
and not just in sound, in a lot of different things, in meditation, in work, in all sorts of different capacities, that group connection is really, it's a game changer. And I think everyone who's meant to be there, when you're in those environments, those people that are there are meant to be there. Everyone's there is a specific reason for that, you know,
I agree.
So I encourage the audience who's listening, if you can get to an in-person session wherever you are in the world, to at least try that, because there's a difference. There really is. And it's not to say you can't heal remotely. I do energy healings remotely all the time. I was doing that for a long time as a kinesiologist, and still, and now I have just recently started to offer that to my clients, which is so amazing. But having sound, and feeling that energy around you, where you're feeling the frequency, even the fact that you you walk around. So you, whilst you've got your setup at the front of the room and everyone's, you know, lying down, you're walking around. That moment where you were standing over me with, I think it was the drum, or I can't even remember what instrument you're walking around with. I could, the wave of intensity. I don't think you would, like, how could you get that really
You can't. You can't.
online? No, you can't.
No.
So, my for me personally, my opinion is to at least try an in-person one first. It's a good, it's
I've
just a really unique, gorgeous experience. It is. It's sound for the soul.
It is, and that's what I quite often describe it as a tune-up for the soul. It's an internal massage. And you're basically massaging your central nervous system, really. Is, you know, it's just this beautiful thing. And you're 150% right. You cannot get that. You get the beautiful relaxation, and you know, the definitely you get the therapeutic benefits of online when you're listening, especially with headphones in particular, you know. You do get that beautiful relaxing, and you can have a lovely journey, and it's beautiful, and it's relaxing, and can be very therapeutic. However, there is no comparison to in the flesh, and as you said, they're actually feeling the instruments go through you, and in particular, those frequencies lock onto particular parts of the body, in particular something that's disharmonious, for example, like, you know, you may be an organ or something that's not happy, and if it's not happy, it hasn't got the right frequency. It's like a guitar out of tune, literally. You know, it isn't right. And by just sometimes flushing those frequencies through the body, you know, it just aligns, and you wake up afterwards and you go, oh wow, I had this really sore thing here or whatever it was, and it's gone, like it's magic, you know. And it really, really, really is incredible to experience in the flesh. It's impossible to explain to people. Other than it's a beautiful, relaxing experience. And yes, it can be very cathartic. I've had people have incredible energetic releases. You know, like I said, I was a sobbing mess after my first one. I've had people have just incredibly massive, you know, emotional and energetic sort of purges, and, you know, just incredibly grateful afterwards that they finally got rid of this thing that they've been carrying around or whatever. But you go back to that group dynamic, and I think that's really important, is that, you know, when you're in a group of, you know, 18, 20, 30 people or whatever it might be, is that everyone's subtle energy is connected. Like you are literally, I mean, you know, I'm conscious not to have people too close to each other. I like to give people space. So, you know, but they're always at a distance where they're always, their subtle energies are going to be connected, you know. So everybody in that room is connected to someone else in the room, like energetically. And like, as you said, magic happens in that sort of situation. And you can have some really incredibly powerful sessions sometimes. If you have a group of people in the room that have got a really powerful positive energy, it can just have incredible effects spreading through. And you have people just coming up that have been in multiple journeys, and they're just going, wow, that was just next level, you know, and nothing much has changed other than the people in the room. So yeah, it is quite fascinating, that sort of things as well.
Yeah, because that energy would be amplified if everyone's hooking into the same frequency, then it's an amplification.
Yeah,
And
correct.
I mean, that's it. I mean, that's incredible. I highly recommend that. Chris, what do you love most about the work that you do?
Again, I think it really comes back to what I said before, just about that ability to take people out of their world. Like, just literally, life's so stressful, it's so hard, there's so many variables, and there's all this stuff you've always got to sort of, you know, contend with. And I just love that ability to just shut that down, like, for people. And I love the challenge of it too. You know, I have people sort of come in like, yeah, well, you won't get me, kind of thing, you know. And I'm like, yeah, no worries. We'll have another chat. And, you know, and I absolutely love when I have someone that comes out who's like that, you know, hyper overactive thinker, and they sort of sit there and go, oh, I was awake for the whole thing, you know. And I was like, okay, so how long we go for? Oh, it was about 20 minutes. I'm like, yeah, well, that was, you know, we started 75 minutes ago, or, you know, 90 minutes ago. And they look at me like, huh? Like, yeah, no, it wasn't 20 minutes, it was an hour and a half. And they go, oh, okay, right, you know, you just get this sort of look again. It's like, gotcha. And it's like, I love that. I love that, you know, again, people, just time collapses. I just love what the mind does. I love that I can bring that to people. I love that I can bring that experience to people, and what they get out of it, you know, is completely up to them. If I can give them healing, that's fantastic. I'm grateful. If I give them relaxation, I'm grateful. If I give them, some people come with notebooks and like they go into the beautiful stage, but they come out and they're bang, let's go. And they're writing down ideas and concepts and drawing logos and stuff for their business. And like they use it as a source of inspiration. So, you know, some people come for stress relaxation. Some people come for business motivation. You know, it's everybody comes for their own thing. Like I said, when they come to that room, there's a reason they're there. So I don't like to pre-populate anyone's mind with what they should or shouldn't experience. I always point out to people what they can experience, in particular physically and emotionally. It's really important that they know that, so that, you know, if their arm suddenly flicks in the air or something for no valid reason, why is that? It's just that it's energetic release from the body, so it's nothing to be concerned about, you know. Again, you know, certain sounds might bring up that little bit of a feeling of tightness in the chest, of like, kind of like in a movie, when you're watching a movie and something's about to happen, it's like, dum, 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 you know, and you get that, oh, what's about to happen? That can happen in a journey as well. So it's really important to know that. So you know that that's coming, but it's going to go. Like everything, it's just transient. It just comes and it goes like thoughts and, you know, clouds in the sky. So yeah, it's really important that people understand that it is such a beautiful, gentle experience. Everybody, every time you do it, it's different as well, you know. And every time you do it, like I said, I feel you go a little bit deeper into yourself every time you go, because you just didn't know what to expect each time. And your body just lets yourself go a little further each time. And I've got people that have been, you know, I've got two or three people that have been to at least 40 or 50 of my journeys and continue to come back. And that blows me away, because I'm always sort of sitting there thinking, oh, they're not going to come next time. You know, they've been all these times. And every time they keep coming, I always make a point to go up and talk to them and say, how'd you go? You know, that was the best one yet. And I'm like, wow. Like, you know, they get something every time. It's not something that you get sick of, you know. Every time, if you go into it with an open mind and an open heart, you will get something different out of it, which, again, these are all the little things I love, you know. I love that. But I really, like I said to you before, I love that. I know I sound almost like sadistic. I love that look of confusion on people's faces when they sit up and they look at me and just go, what happened then? Where have I been? What was that, you know? I must say, I do also get a little bit of a feeling of pride / satisfaction when someone cries. I know that, again, that probably sounds a little sadistic, but if I see someone have a release and they're crying, I've cracked the seal and I feel I've helped them release some of that. So, you know, it's almost like I make someone cry. Yes. Like, cause I feel that I've helped them get to a place where they can. I know it sounds.
No, not at all. Do you know what? One of the reasons why I'm laughing is, and for anyone in my audience who used to come and see me when I was practicing in Melbourne, I was treating clients in person then, and I would say to them, I don't feel like I'm doing my job properly unless you cry. And I would say that on the regular, like I would have a bee in my bonnet to get them to that point, because that's the point of surrender.
Yeah.
And I wasn't afraid of that, but I would make a joke of it. Anyone who knows me from then, they would feel that. And it is, it kind of is, it's a bit twisted, but in the best possible way, because you know. Oh,
100%.
Because you know those people are having their best breakthrough, and it is a sense of satisfaction, and it is a sense of pride that comes because you're helping people transmute and transform into what is meant for them. And yeah, it's a blessing, and it's a miracle every time. I think it is. It's just such a beautiful miracle. Chris, how can the audience connect with you? I'll be sharing your links and your website and your Instagram and so forth. But from you, how can they connect with you?
Yeah, obviously all the likely suspects that you said, you know, Insta, Facebook, and my website. Predominantly, I'm a bit old school, so I'm not really, you know, super Insta mad. My wife tells me off all the time and says I've got to get more savvy with social media in general. But anyone in South Australia, for example, that wants to experience one of my journeys, probably through Eventbrite, and Harmonic Essence is the name of what I do. And if they look up Harmonic Essence in Eventbrite, and or Facebook and so forth is the best way to find what I'm doing. And through my Facebook as well, because again, I collaborate with other people. So not all my events are again on Eventbrite as such. So they'll be quite often in conjunction with other people, and they generally hold those events, like tonight's event, as you know, at Yoga Spirit Studios. I'm actually a guest of theirs, so it's not actually my event, it's theirs. And a few others like that. So but yeah, stalk me in all the usual places, and again, don't expect anything massively, modern as far as my social networking skills is concerned. I put all my effort into my instruments and what I do rather than what I look like and how many beautiful photos I take of myself. And with a head like this, you know, I've been told I've got a good head for radio. So. Yeah.
That is totally untrue, and but I love that, because you're just doing, you know, what you love, and you know, you can use as much of the tools or as less of the tools as you want. It doesn't matter, because the energy is there. And you know, I found you online. I hadn't even been to any of your sound healings when I connected with you. And even though I'm in marketing and that's my background, and I could be a bit of a tough crowd, I didn't care that, you know, all of the things that you're using are, you know, super slick, if you will, from a marketing, you know, the have to's or anything, because your energy tells the story. And I wanted to talk to you, and then I came to a sound healing, and now we're doing this. So, you know, that's what's important. And when you're looking at the way that the new world is forming and where we're moving to, all of the have-tos and all of the being overly polished and all of that, it doesn't exist. It's just about being real and being true and then being in integrity and being passionate about how you're serving other people. And you are doing that. I'm so grateful our paths crossed. I can't wait for the sound healing tonight on a full moon, ready to release it all. Let's do it.
Yeah, I think it's really important, like you said, is you know, if you do what you're loving and you do it well, and that's what you're focusing on, that's what's important. I don't care about all that stuff. If I didn't actually have to have Facebook, like, you know, probably many of your viewers, I wouldn't. Like, it just, I wish it didn't exist. But it's a necessary evil for what we do, you know, or a necessary tool, I should say, not a necessary evil. But yeah, if I could just do what I do without needing to do any of that stuff, I would be more than happy. I can't actually sort of do that, unfortunately. So, I really love what I do. I focus on just doing that as well as I can. And every time I walk into a room, you know, although I have a very similar sort of routine I roll through, it's different every single time. It's you know, it's done on the spot and it's done in the energy of the room. And I try and, yeah, I try and keep continually changing and evolving and getting better and better and better as I go along, to just be the best version of what I do for the best for everybody else, because that's what it's about, what I give and what people get out of it. Yeah.
Absolutely. Thanks again, Chris. It's been an absolute pleasure to talk to you today.
My pleasure. Thank you. Thanks for having us.